I've read Hebrews before a few times, but this is the first time I think I ever really studied Hebrews. And I have really enjoyed this class. I hope you guys have been enjoying this class as much as I have. And we kind of stopped in the middle of verses 4 through 8. But because 4 through 8 are very important parts of this section, I think it would just be good for us to continue pushing through that. So let's look at 4 through 8 again. For it is impossible, in the case of those who have been enlightened, who have tasted the heavenly gift, and have shared in the Holy Spirit, and have tasted the goodness of the Word of God, and have the powers of the age to come, and then have fallen away, to restore them again to repentance, since they are crucifying once again the Son of God to their own harm, and holding Him up for contempt. For land that has drunk the rain and often falls on it and produces a crop useful to those for the sake it is cultivated, receiving a blessing from God. But if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and to be cursed and its end be buried. So the important question that we started to touch up on last week is, when we look at this, is it possible for us to lose our salvation? Yes. Okay. So I think a good way to really... I think this is an obvious yes. And that's an important distinction, because there are people that argue that it's not possible for us to lose our salvation. Or it, maybe we never had that salvation in the first place. So when we look at this, we kind of... And when they talk about this, one of the things that they often point out is the parable of the sower. Okay, so what's the parable of the sower? Four different types of people, right? You throw the seed, it falls on rocks, and the birds just kind of eat it. You throw a seed, it falls on thorns and thistles. You throw a seed, and it doesn't take root. And then you throw a seed and it produces lots and lots of crops. All right, Joe, you're a farmer, right? Do you ever just throw seed? I've always wondered if farmers actually just throw seed.
Yeah.
Okay. So is this a good analogy? All right. And why, as a farmer from your perspective, why is this a good analogy? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
think that's very important, and I want to come back to that. In fact, I was going to lead into that. Yeah. But I wanted to talk more about this. The reason I'm bringing the parable of the sower up is because a lot of people say that this passage is not necessarily about losing your salvation. It's not about having your salvation in the first place. And I want to establish why that's wrong. Go ahead.
When you asked me the question, I was running through a process in my mind about what causes the confusion. If you're going to address it, I'm fine with that. But it's a basic hermeneutical principle that we apply, that the other folks don't.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that you look at all of the verses pertaining to a particular subject to come to your conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
Not taking one verse and creating a proof text and disregarding all of the others.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bad hermeneutical process. I think that's how they come to wrong many times on this and specifically my thinking of they do it consistently.
Yes. Now, when I read this passage, there's one verse, and this is, I think, is exactly what you're talking about, Mark, that really stands out to me here. Not one verse, but one part. And this is in verse 4, when he talks about having shared in the Holy Spirit, which is why I don't think he's talking about those people that didn't have foundation. Do we know of any examples where people claim to be Christians and they didn't have the Holy Spirit? John, the baptism of John? Oh, he only had John's baptism. I see what you're saying. Yes, that's one. That's not the one I was thinking of, but that is a good one. Simon the Sorcerer was the one I was thinking of, but you're thinking of Apollos. Yes. But yes, those are two very good examples. And the story of Simon the Sorcerer, back in Acts chapter 7? I don't know. It's early in Acts, if someone wants to look it up. Philip, yes, this is right after the Macedonian conversion. Philip goes and teaches the people about Jesus, and they were first bewitched by Simon the Sorcerer and the magic, I guess, that he claimed he can do. But after listening to Philip, they all believed, and even said Simon believed. But it said that they did not have the Holy Spirit. And so they invited some of the apostles, Peter, to come and share with them the Holy Spirit. And Simon tries to buy this power, probably indicating that he really was one of those people that he talks about in the parable of the sower. Now we don't. He was baptized, yes, yeah. So it does make a distinction here. This sharing in the Holy Spirit, I think, is those that have gone beyond baptism, I think. Because I think even those people that he's talking about that take root, I think those are probably people that have been baptized too, because it says they believed, but then quickly fell away. You're referring to Hebrews, right? Okay, sorry. I just wanted to clarify. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So back to what Mark was saying. We are partakers in the Holy Spirit, correct? Is anybody here not a partaker in the Holy Spirit? Do we need to have another conversation? I think he's making a real case that people like us can lose our salvation. And not only is he making a case that that's possible, but he's making a case that it's terrible. I mean, what has to go through your life that you would lose your salvation? But what causes us to reject God? I'll rephrase the question. Well, this is a tough one. Talking about that complete rejection, that's a sin issue. But I think there are other things that might cause us to reject God, and maybe resentment is one of them. And I think this is just as dangerous because there are things that aren't necessarily sin issues that might cause us to resent God, such as losing a loved one. I've heard this story quite a bit, that people turn away from God because they lost a child or a family member. Yeah, their feelings have been hurt. Mm-hmm. Well, I really want to explore this issue because I think this is an important thing for us to look at is what would cause us personally, not just anyone in general, but examine your life. What is personally going to cause you to fall away? Laziness? I think that's why there's such a strong emphasis put on Paul's writings through divisions. I'll get to you in a second, Joe. Yeah. And I think even this church has a history of division, right? Well, too bad. You're stuck with me for a while. So I really think the division is a good one here, especially when it comes to us as a whole. And I know it's something that you could probably look back in your history. I don't know how long all of you have been here, but you've probably seen it, right? Not since you've been here? Okay. But you've probably seen maybe smaller things. Yeah. All right, go ahead, Joe. I know you're excited.
I was just going to say that the context of this book, the writer is addressing Jewish Christians.
Yeah.
And then when you look at the overall picture of the book and all the different subjects he addresses, he seems to keep pointing Jewish Christians back to Christ, in the mm-hmm. who Christ is, how he fits into history, how he fits in the order of Melchizedek, and so on and so on. And when I'm in, this is just speculation, but when I read this, the first thing that comes to my mind is if there was a separation possibly between the Jews and the Son of God. They had not believed in the Son of God as the Christ, and then they did believe in the Son of God as the Christ, and then maybe, based on the whole book and the defense of the book and everything that he talks about in the book, maybe they stopped believing again. And he says,
you can't be restored.
Because it was a denial of the Son of God.
Yeah. And that's exactly. And they hear, and this is good because I got this verse I want to share with you. This is straight from the mouth of Jesus. Then Jesus told disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever would save his life would lose it, but whoever would lose his life for my sake will find it. And this is the important part. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul? So Jesus is saying, and I think this is the overall theme of Hebrews, is Christ is greater than that, and if you really want to have eternal life, you have to turn to Him. Nothing is greater than that gift. In fact, whatever you're going to trade for that gift is going to lead you into, what's the word he says, or forfeit your soul. Damnation. And without saying that, I think that's what the author of Hebrews is trying to warn them of. Mm-hmm. You know, that's actually one of my scriptures today in my lesson. Getting to here in verse 8, but if it bears thorns and thistles, it is worthless and near to being cursed and to be burned up. And we see Jesus made similar statements along those lines, like when he curses the fig tree. Julie, I think you had your hand up.
Proactive. So, could tell her she's welcome.
Well, we're out of time on this subject, but I would like you guys to... Sorry? Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Jamie. Jamie says requires some self-exploration. So that I think that would be really good for you guys to examine yourselves and look at what your biggest weaknesses are and try to be honest about them. You don't have to confess them to anybody else except God, and God knows what they are, and Satan knows what they are as well. I'm going to give you guys some homework, but not really homework. I just want to give you a few scriptures to look up about in reference to your salvation and losing it. So if you would like to mark these down. John, what was the one you covered? Or not John, I'm sorry, Mark. 1 John. Yes, because that's one I would like people to write down as well. But the other one is John 5:24. John 15:6. This one's more about your salvation in general, not about losing it. Ephesians 2:8-10. And then, of course, the one that John, or Marcus, 1 John 2:18. All right. Okay. So, everyone come Wednesday night and we can have a follow-up with this, with that self-exploration. Let's pray. Dear most Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Word. We thank you for the ability that we had to come here today, Lord. But most importantly, Lord, I want to thank you for...